Good morning. Pastor Mark and sometimes the television preachers that I listen to start out with something funny. You're still doing that, aren't you, Pastor? So I thought, I tried to think of something funny. And I thought, well, there might be some people here that are getting up there, you know, a little older. She says, I'm going to just, maybe I can think of some funny things, you know, for getting old. And I started thinking about them. I had a really long list of them. I have, and I was just going to talk a little bit more about aging. And I walk in here and I forgot it. Anyway, as I started to work on my topic today of the Ten Commandments and the Seven Deadly Sins, I really didn't know the Seven Deadly Sins. I hadn't, for some reason, I hadn't even heard of them. I started looking up more things about the Ten Commandments and happened onto them. I said, well, maybe there's some people here that haven't heard of them, and so I'll share those. And I also know that maybe all of you, maybe even most of you, know the Ten Commandments. I didn't realize that Katie was going to have two or three of them there, so when I go through them, it'll be a little bit of repetition for you. But what I plan to do, what I have, and by the way, if you see me handling all this paper, it's probably about a half a tree, because I've either been too lazy or didn't care enough or both to do this. Just think, all this paper here and I could be doing this. So I'm guilty of wasting right off the bat as far as green. But maybe when I get a little older, I'll be able to do that. Maybe. Won't we, Ruth Ann? You know what? Oh, well, I thought we had it in the same place. Now how are we doing? Okay. As I started working on this, on the Ten Commandments, it just reminded me of a long time ago when I was my first 8 years of school, when we'd come in the morning at parochial school, Mr. Wolt we'd have a prayer and a song. He'd give us assignments, so everybody was busy. And while everyone was busy, we took turns walking up his desk like this. He'd have his grade book ready and do our memory work for the day, every day. It was the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, Apostles' Creed, and different hymns. Some of the basic Bible teaching, and I'm just so thankful. I don't know when if I would have learned them some other way, but just when I started the Ten Commandments, it reminded me of my school days of, you know, memorizing the Ten Commandments. So I'm risking boring you today with them, but I just thought maybe you hadn't heard them for a while, and I'll just share them with you for a reminder, and then share with you the seven deadly sins. Before I begin, I'd like to say a prayer. And dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to have Christian fellowship and to strengthen our faith in you. Today we are reminding ourselves of the laws that you gave us for Christian living. We pray for your help to abide by them and for your forgiveness when we break them. In your name we pray, amen. To begin, I'd like to have you, as a pastor referenced, to look in your bulletin and check yourself using the letter clues there. You know, there could be a certain, each commandment could probably be a whole sermon as we delve into the depth of their true meaning. So I just had those initials put in just to see how, maybe some of you have already looked at it and trying to think, that maybe you know them all. I'm going to review them real quickly just to see how you did, so to speak. And by the way, the numbering of the commandments is not the same everywhere you find them. They might be a little different. The first commandment is sometimes divided up into two parts, one part about idols and another part about, you know, everything else. The ninth and tenth commandment are sometimes combined into just, you know, just one. But I have them divided, so I just share with that. Nothing magic about my numbering. If you want to look at your bulletin, and I'm just going to go down them and see. The N-O-G, no other gods. Then it's G-N, God's name. I hope you're doing okay so far. S-D, Sabbath day. Honor, Father. Oh, come on. No, don't count that one. It's H, F, and M. Honor, Father, and Mother. That don't count for you. K, killing. A, adultery. S, stealing. F, W, false witness. C, N, covet neighbor. Oh, I'm sorry. C, N, H, covet neighbor's house. And 10, finally, C, N, W, covet neighbor's wife. See, those last two are a lot of times they're combined to covet a neighbor's house, nor is man servant, maidservant, or anything as thy neighbors. I'm going to go down each commandment and read it, and then look at have you read with me a Bible verse that supports that commandment. Before that, as I was looking online about trying to find out, you know, some more things I didn't already know about the commandments, I ran across this little article. In 2003, Judge Ray Moore of Alabama had a 2-ton monument of the Ten Commandments put up near the courthouse. Soon after he put them up, they were removed by a higher court, and he was fired. I wonder what would happen in Rochester if that would happen. But you know, if it would happen, and you objected, let's say I objected. Well, hey, Gordon, what are you objecting about? Do you know? I think I should know. If someone says that, would say that to me if I'm objecting. But anyway, I'm just curious about that. That's probably happened in more places than that as far as questioning and objecting to things like that. And we saw one example in Rochester not that long ago about nativity, I think. Okay, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the supporting verse that I'd like to have you read with me will be put on the screen. There, okay, I do. Matthew 4:10, with me. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. There are many other supporting verses for each commandment. That's just one that I picked out to show the relationship between the commandments and, you know, and what the Bible says. So, of course, no idols, no things, no stuff, no people, no children, no parents. Number one, God number one. Second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's a supporting verse I chose to have you share with me out loud. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? Guiltless. Careless and disrespectful use of God's name is covered in that meaning of that commandment. Isn't it funny? I don't know if it's funny, but isn't it? I was going to say surprising, but maybe not that either. But when you more recently, I guess, watching television, and you see God's name used so loosely or disrespectfully. You may have even heard someone say, maybe they get excited about something, and they, on a TV show, they walk in and find out their house is all renewed and stuff, and they walk in, and what do they say? Oh, my heavens? No, they don't say my heavens, do they? But that'd be just like careless use of God's name, wouldn't it? Breaking of an oath would be so-called covered in this commandment. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath day hasn't always been on Sunday. Originally, it was the seventh day, Saturday, and God rested. Then it was changed soon after the. I don't know when, but churches and started worshiping on the next day, Sunday. That was the day the Lord rose from the dead, and of course today we use Sunday. We could be coming to church on Tuesday. The Bible doesn't say come this day, only this day. It doesn't say it. So we're supposed to attend public worship, read the Bible, gladly hear and learn it, support preaching and teaching of the Word. So, day of rest and devotion. I don't know how long ago it was, but we couldn't even buy anything on Sundays in the past. Sometimes in the past, remember, stores weren't even open. I don't know what made it happen that way, and I don't know what made it change, but I still remember those times. But it does kind of fit this, doesn't it, as far as rest day. You know, this is one of those commandments that, as I indicated earlier, you could have a whole sermon about. Just remember Sabbath day to keep holy. Hey, Gordon, I heard you talk about the Sabbath day, keeping it holy and so forth. I work on Sunday. I work in a hospital, and it's open on Sundays. I'm working for the time of the whole church. That'd be an interesting discussion, wouldn't it? But each commandment has things like that that would be, you know, open for to talk about and say, well, what does the Bible say, you know, about that? The fourth commandment, thou shalt honor thy father and mother that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. The only commandment with a promise. Colossians 3:20 says, if you read with me, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. It's obvious that we're supposed to honor our parents, but also our masters, people over us, whether they be in a political sense or maybe be policemen. Show respect to those. It doesn't say agree with them, but it says respect them. We might have a little ways to work on there, at least in our world today, maybe. But it also covers parents. Parents are not to provoke their children to anger. So we're supposed to serve each other, serve our parents, serve our elders. Mr. Wolt said, if you get on a bus and the places are full and someone that's older wants to get on that bus, give them your seat. Give them your seat. I'm so thankful I had that man, I'll tell you. let's see. Fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. But Ephesians 4:26, let's see what that says together. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When I'm upset with someone, angry at them, don't go to bed without asking for forgiveness. Don't let the sun go down on our wrath. It's easy to remember, isn't it? Don't bear anger or hatred forbids murder, suicide. We're not supposed to hurt or harm our neighbor's body in any way, but we should help and befriend and be merciful and forgiving to our neighbors. And someone, who's your neighbor? Well, it's kind of like, who isn't your neighbor? Sixth commandment that I have, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the supporting verse is found in Matthew. Join with me in reading it. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. This commandment forbids the breaking of the marriage vow by unfaithfulness or desertion. Requires love and honor for husbands and wives. It forbids unchaste and unclean thoughts, desires, or words and deeds. Another way to put it, using a little bigger word, flee fornication and youthful lust. Just thinking sinful thoughts is a sin. Seventh, thou shalt not steal. 2 Thessalonians and in Matthew, I picked out two verses there for us. With me, please. If any would not work, neither should he eat. And whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. That last verse is pretty close to the golden rule, isn't it? But I don't think the golden rule is word for word in the Bible, but that's pretty close. That's pretty close. And then that first passage about working and eating, if I'm capable to do something, maybe to earn my keep, I expect someone else to do it, even though I've been given the talent or skill or whatever to do it, that's like stealing. If I'm a boss and I try to take advantage of someone, because they have to have this job, but I don't have to pay them that much. That's stealing. So we are to, we're supposed to help and protect our neighbors, help and protect others, improve their property and business. Eighth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Our supporting verse that I picked out there, and it's found in James. With me, speak not evil one of another, brethren. This commandment forbids lying with or withholding the truth, betraying or defaming, or even hearing evil thoughts against our neighbor, gossiping. We should defend and shield our neighbor from false accusations and speak well of him. Gossiping probably happens every, it's a temptation when we disagree with something, isn't it? Have a meeting and blah, blah, blah. We don't agree with it, instead of going straight to that person. The ninth and tenth are sometimes combined into coveting. I have them separated, so I'll do that. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or anything that is thy neighbor's. Galatians 5:13 speaks to that. That very short verse with me. By love, serve one another. This forbids having sinful desires or seeking to get any belonging of your neighbor. I mean, you can like you can kind of, look at that neighbor's new car. That's probably not a sin. But being jealous of it would be wrong. Jealous of it or anything that someone else has. Of course, what we are to do is be thankful for what we have. don't have a sinful desire or seek to get things from other people. Help them. Protect them. John, boy, what a nice car. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, servants, or cattle. Romans 7:7 with me, please. And for our last commandment, I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So even in thinking lustful thoughts is a sin. We should be encourage them to have a family, love each other. In summary, the first three commandments could be summarized, love God. 4 through 10 could be love your neighbor. But all of them could be love God. If we love God truly, everything else will fall in place. The 7 deadly sins. I ran across these. I didn't know them. I don't think I even had heard of them until I started reading about the 10 commandments online. And I thought, maybe someone else, maybe other people don't know them. And so I don't know if it's selfish. Maybe selfishly, I said, I want to know what they are. So here's what I learned, and I'll try to share with you abbreviate what I learned. They were first compiled by Pope Gregory I around the year 600 A.D. They came after the Ten Commandments. The early Catholic Church emphasized them in their confessionals. This exact list does not appear in the Bible, but a slightly different list appears in Proverbs and Galatians. Of course, deadly makes it sound like they can't be forgiven. But we know that the Lord forgives any and all sins except complete rejection of His grace and blasphemy. So you can refer to your bulletin again to see the one-letter clues that they have there to see if you know the 7 deadly sins, and if you don't, you can either, remember them or write them down or whatever. I'm just going to go tell you what they are and then talk about each one a little bit. P is for pride. G is for greed. L is for lust. E is for envy. G is for gluttony. I don't know why I always hesitate at that one and think about, does that mean I can't have a second helping or something? Gluttony. Or third helping. W for wrath. S for sloth. Maybe you knew them. I didn't know them. I hadn't even heard them before. I'm going to give a little definition, then I'm going to read what it says in the Bible about it. Now, three things: definition, what the Bible says, and the opposite, how to be different than that. Pride is an excessive view of oneself without regard for others. And in Jeremiah, it says, let not the mighty man boast of his might, but let him boast of this, that he understands and knows me. So the opposite of pride can be humility. Put others before yourself. Greed, an excessive pursuit of material goods. And in Hebrews it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the Lord will take care of us. We don't need to be try to get, for other people. The opposite of greed would be charity. And this would be kind of like ringing the bell. It would be sort of like charity, help other people. Charity cures greed by putting desire to help others above storing up treasures for self. So not as much of this as this. Lust, a strong passion or longing, especially for sexual desires. In Second Timothy, it says, lust is a strong passion or longing, especially for sexual desires. And the Bible says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Chastity and self-control cures lust by controlling passion, using that energy for the good of others. Envy is the intense desire to have an item that someone else possesses. In Proverbs, it tells us, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. The opposite of envy would be kindness, placing the desire to help others above wanting what they have. A gluttony is an excessive and ongoing eating of food or drink. For Corinthians tells us, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The note I made about gluttony is temperance cures gluttony by implanting the desire to be healthy, therefore making one fit to serve others. So back to my reference to the second or third helpings and so-called old-fashioned pigging out and whatever. I'm supposed to be thinking about this temple, that my body that the Lord gave me, and think of how complicated it is, but perfect for us. I'm supposed to be thinking of that when I eat or drink. Take care of it. Take care of it. Don't abuse it. Wrath. Wrath is a strong anger and hate towards another person. In Romans, it tells us, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I don't have to get them back. I don't have to get them back. Sloth, finally, sloth, is an excessive laziness or the failure to act and utilize one's talents. In Proverbs, it tells us, go to the ant, A-N-T. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. How does that help us? How does that help a sloth watching the ants? Well, they're busy working, usually, aren't they? Usually not. I mean, well, I don't know if I don't know if I've ever seen an ant sitting back waiting for someone to give it something. But a person could do that. Just, we're given the ability to do something and don't use it. And do use it. We call it lazy, don't we? That person's lazy. They're capable, but not using it. And that's one of the seven deadly sins, sloth. The opposite of being slothful would be diligence or zeal. And that cures it by placing the interest of others above a life of ease and relaxation. So, I've tried to share some highlights of the Ten Commandments, seven deadly sins, and I've listed the word virtues. I put down seven virtues. The virtues that I'm referring to, the things as virtues, are the opposite of envy and so forth. So, if we truly love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind, we will strive to live by these guides. However, we know that trying to follow the commandments alone will not save us. True love of God means that we confess our sins and believe that Jesus is our Savior. I'd like to have you join me in a closing prayer that we'll have up here, and then a final song of "They'll Know We're Christians by Our Love." For a closing prayer. Thank you, Brian. Dear Lord, with me, please. We know that we are to strive to be like you, but we know that we cannot be perfect. We thank you for suffering and dying for us and for giving us the Ten Commandments to help us live a God-pleasing life. We ask you to forgive our sins. We love you and thank you for being our Savior.